ready to go with the scripture. Here we go. It's up on the screen. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And you. You see this word here? You? That's you. That's me. That's anybody watching by internet. Anybody within the sound of my voice, this means you. And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. He hath quickened. Basically, it's a fancy word of saying has brought you back to life. Now, a few weeks ago, I experienced really seeing somebody brought back to life. Because I mean, she was all but dead. And then they put their paddles to her, and I was right there and saw they didn't have time to run me out of the room. She came 6 inches off that table when they shot her. I mean, it was pretty scary.
I was fine.
Yeah, you were fine, all right. Even though you was in the world, because you almost wasn't in the world. But, as we have shared, on Sunday, she liked to die. On Tuesday, she was home. Basically, if you look at this, she was quickened from death, meaning she was brought back to life by the grace of God. You see the picture? Give the Lord a hand. And you, he had quickened, brought back life, who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins. Dead means that basically your soul was dead, and it was going to remain dead unless something happened. Obviously, if you're still physically alive, if you're here today and you're off, obviously you're physically alive, but your soul is basically dead to God. There's no life in it. There's no action in it. There is no care. There's no love. There's no grace. There's no forgiveness. Let's look at the process. Verse 2. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. Here's this word called past. Your past. My past. The past of those people. I want you to look the kind of past they had. Wherein you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Walked. Prince of the power of the air. Who did you walk with? You walk under the power and the influence of who? Satan. Everybody here in this audience at one time has walked under the influence of Satan, including me. And anybody who's born into this world, until they are saved and ask God for forgiveness, is walking under the influence of Satan. Where any times past, you walk according to the course of this world. He is the prince of this what? World. This is what Paul is saying. This is your past. This is my past. You got one or two things. Either you're living for God through Jesus Christ, or you're living for Satan. There's no gray area. It's one or the other. You're not saved today, lost tomorrow. Lost tomorrow, saved today, lost again. I don't believe that. Either you're a part of God or you're a part of Satan. Amen. That's where it said. And everybody said?
Amen.
All right, here we go. Among whom also we all had our conversation. That's a neat word. In times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others.
Wow.
Man. Y'all were some rotten people, weren't you? Gee, crickets. How rotten can you get? How low can you go? What is it when we are run by the flesh other than run by the Spirit of God? Everybody here has a past. And it's not pleasant. It's not pretty. It's not meant to be pretty. It's not meant to be nice. Because we were not filled with God's Spirit. We were filled with the flesh. Don't swap with us. Among whom also we all had our conversations. Conversation means how we speak. A lot of times you can really tell, and you should be able to tell, who's saved by the way they talk. Believe me, I've been around people that are not saved. Their conversations sometimes are a little different. Their language sometimes is a little different. The stuff stories they tell are a little different. The jokes they tell are a little different. Why? Because they are following the flesh, not the spirit. One of the first evidences of salvation is the manner of conversation that comes after.
Amen.
Because that is the greatest of the witnesses that we have, is what we say and how we say it. Our voice carries the witness of Jesus. Let me say that again. Our voice carries the witness for Jesus. Our voice also carries the witness for Satan. Look what it says. Among them also we had our conversations in times past. What kind of conversations? Lust of the flesh, desires of the flesh, and of the mind. What we said,
how we acted.
We live in the flesh. Satan tells us that because we live in the flesh, we should be able to do what we want to in the flesh. And Satan loves to convince us that his pleasures are more apt and more great than the pleasures that you get with God. So we get wrapped up in these pleasures of the flesh, of the mind. You're either going to act like Satan, or you're going to act like Jesus. And there's a big difference. Now, in this process of growing, from the time that we're saved, and we're going to talk about this over the next 2 weeks, there is a process. I don't expect you that once you walk down this aisle and give your life to Jesus that you're going to be an angel. That's ridiculous. Okay? We know that. There is a process. Because as you go through this process, you start off by getting involved in God's house. A person who is saved and not involved in God's house, there's something wrong. They need to figure out a way to get into God's house. I realize sometimes we have to work, but we need to figure out how to do it. Satan wants you out of church. You need to figure out how to get into church. God will help you figure that out if you ask Him and provide a way for that. He will do that. Once you get into God's house, we ask you to open up your Bibles and begin to read it. Begin to study. Begin to see what God is all about. Once you do, and you begin to do that, you grow what we call the phrase, you grow in the Lord. And it's a process. It's a process that you'll never get to the end of until you take your last breath and you go to meet Jesus. The trouble of this, a lot of people on this road, if you will, of travel, of growing in the Lord, in this process of which I'm talking about, Satan will not leave us alone. And he puts a lot of stuff in front of us, and the fancy word biblically is temptation. We're going to look at that too next week. This thing called temptation. Now, in the times of past, when we talked in the flesh and in the mind, and we're naked by children around. Children. If you take a child is going to go through phases in life. Don't they? They start off as a child, as a baby. Next thing you know, they get to where they can crawl. Then they get to where they can walk. Then they get to where they can talk. And when a child gets to the stage of walking and talking, it changes forever and ever. Well, think about it, parents. Grandparents. Now, the party's on. For the next whatever long. Because you're a parent till you die. You're a grandparent till you die. Now the process is on because why? We can walk and we can talk. And then we get into something called the terrible twos. Now I never went through the terrible twos. But a lot of you did. I ran away when I was 2 years old. That's how I was treated, people. Like me and they found it. And then you get into the wonderful children stage, teenager stage, adolescent stage. Sometime when you get into your 60s, you get adult stage. Some of you in your 60s, you ain't had adulthood yet, I know. But it's a process, and it's a process that we go through. So by nature, we are children of wrath. Because somehow or another, we seem to think once we get old enough to have independence, once we get to the age where we can talk and walk, now we don't want to what? Listen. And that is dangerous. Once a child gets to where they can walk and talk, it's dangerous. Because next thing you know, you shut your eyes for a second, you take your eyes off of them for a minute, and they're gone. They're into something. They're doing something. They're walking around. They're jumping. They're hollering. And then the next thing you know, you hear crying. One of the most feared things when a child is out of your sight, next thing you know, they're crying. Until you get to them. It's a process. It's a stage. You know, Stephanie was the same way. You know, now Matthew, he didn't wake up till he was 5. Stephanie didn't go to sleep till she was 15. See, that was the process that we had here, see? And everybody's different in this walk. Everybody's different in what's going on. You know, it's all part of the process. Just like what Brother Luke's doing, it's a process. See? You know, it's a process. But I'm thankful that the young man's in church. Yeah. He can walk around all he wants to. Look, you settle down. But folks, we have to somehow or another, we got to get past the terrible twos. Well, in the spiritual world, we got to get past that. Because it's a dangerous time. But once you become a child of God in the process, Satan wants you to stumble. He wants you to fall. He wants you to get high up on the ladder and fall off. He wants you to be hurt. He wants you crying. Because at that point in time, when it gets to that, where will you turn? What will you do? If a child gets out from underneath your care and runs off, such as I did when I was between 2 and 3 years of age, and you don't know where that child's at, it's the most scariest thing on the planet. If you're a parent or a grandparent, great-grandparent, I don't care. When that child gets out of your sight, you don't know who's holding that child, who's influencing that child, and what they're saying. Are they harming that child? What are they doing? Your mind will go ballistic if that child gets out of your sight and mind and don't know what's going on. Are you with me so far?
Amen.
But the same way in the spiritual world, we get out of sight and absence of God's will. It's scary and it's dangerous. We got Christian people, though they may be saved, or come back to this nature of children of wrath. They stop coming to church. They stop doing things that are godly. And the next thing you know, they're back to this nature of children of wrath, even as others. They're back in the flesh, back in the mind. Now, you and I can debate all day long whether they lost their salvation, because I'm convinced that if a child of God truly is saved, they may wander from time to time, but they will make it back to God's house. But if you were never saved, because walking down this aisle and shaking my hand and getting in this water, that has been more saved you than a man or moon. I'm glad when you walk the aisle. I'm glad when I get you in the water. But that's not what's saving you. It's in your heart when you ask Jesus for forgiveness and he forgives you and you're serious about it and you make a change in your life, whether you're 8 or 80. That is salvation. Not shaking a preacher's hand or not being dunked in the water. How many people get dunked in the water and is as lost as a goose out of water? It's not about that. It's about what's inside that's going to answer one day when you meet the Lord face to face. Give him a hand of applause. And let us go to our next set of verses, please. But God, we talked about our past. Now, but God, who is rich in mercy. I love this phrase. For his great love wherein he loved us. No matter, listen to me closely, no matter what your past, what you have done, there's not anything so bad that God cannot save you from.
Amen.
When it says here, who is rich in mercy, rich means abundance. Abundance. If you know people who are rich, they're abundant in money. What he's saying is, in mercy means forgiveness, which means no matter. If you go out here, if you've got somebody that backs you up financially, and you go out here and you bankrupt, and they come along and write a check and get you out of it, that means that they're rich and you're not. They can write a check, they can get you out of it. Lord knows, wouldn't it be nice to have somebody behind us all times write checks and get us out of the hole whenever we need it? Of course, it don't work like that in the real life, but in the spiritual life, that's the picture it is. No matter how deep in debt you get in the sin of Satan, it can't be so deep that Jesus can't write the check and get you out of it at the moment you say, God, I'm coming back to you. God, I'm coming to you through the name of Jesus Christ. I don't care how much in debt you are to Satan. Jesus will get you out of it and set you above it and get you out of the grip of Satan. That's what that means. Give the Lord a hand of applause. And here's another. For his great love, wherein he loved us. Not just loved us, great, immense. As wide can be, as deep can go. Doesn't make any difference how far in sin you think you are. Jesus can find you, grab you, touch you, raise you up. For the greatest love on the planet is the love that Jesus has for you. When he died on Calvary's cross and he shed his blood, his life, his death, 3 days later, his resurrection, gave us all of the abundance of grace, because it's amazing. It's great, the grace and the love of God in your life and what he's done. Because of whatever past you've had, whatever past you've done, he can get you beyond your past and give you a future, because his love is great. His love for you, his love for me, is greater than any sin you've ever done. It don't get any better than that. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins. Not like the word we. Paul was, he was pretty well dead in sin. Paul's writing out a testimony here. And he's in jail at this time too. Keep this in mind. Writing with a candle. His eyesight's very poor. He really don't have a whole lot to be thankful for. But he is so thankful. Because at one point in time, his life was heading straight for hell. And he'd rather be getting straight for heaven in jail than to be straight for hell in some big house. Because, he says, when we were dead in sin, has quickened us. Here's this word again, brought us back to life. Together with Christ, by grace are you saved. By grace. Next week, we're going to talk a lot about this grace. And what does it mean? How do we live it? Can we really truly live grace? Can we give grace? Can our testimony be about grace? Because I've said we're still sinners. How can I go from sinner to grace? What is that process about? Because see, if sin's on one side and grace is on the other, and all you've got is this big bath of water. Let's say you've got two islands. One is sin, the other is grace. The only way that you're going to get from one to the other, you can swim it. That's pretty dangerous. I've been in the oceans. I've been in the Pacific. And I have been in the Atlantic. You don't want to swim it. You can try to take a boat across it. That's good too. Because Jesus could be that boat. You can take a bridge across it if they build it. Whatever way you choose, it's going to be your path. Because some people want to do it the hard way. They want to swim. Some people want to take the boat. Some people want to take the bridge. Whatever way that you get across there, you remember this. The reason you made it across there is because of the amazing grace of God. It's a process from sin to grace. Now let me tell you how really I measure salvation of people's lives. When I really stop to think about grace, if we've come out of this real big Thanksgiving type time in the world, you get there and you look across the water at your path.
made it to grace, and you look back, you say, I never want to ever get back to that part of my life again. And that is the true test of salvation. You don't go backwards. It doesn't mean that because you're on the island of grace, everything's going to be perfect. We all know that's not the truth either. But I'm not going backwards. I may still have a rough trip going forward because he's sitting out the way of making it to the grace island too. Right now, he has that ability to get over there and try to trip us up too. And that's okay. He's tripped us all. We're not perfect. But whenever I trip, whenever I fall, I may let go of God, but you've heard me say this 1,000 times. God never lets go of me.
Amen. Amen.
Never lets go of me. Never lets go of me. Because even when I was dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This heavenly place, I'm going to start there next week. What's that mean? I don't care where you live. I don't care how bad it is. You remember one thing. Paul was in jail. Been beaten to an inch of his life. Probably most theologians believe he was going blind. Writing this by candle. At one time, Paul was a pretty rich individual. A lot of power. He's in the worst of the worst. But in his mind, he was in heavenly places. We're going to talk about this next week. I want you to listen to me closely. I don't care where you think you are in life, how bad you think life has gone. As long as you've got Jesus and he's with you in your heart, I don't care what dungeon you're in, I don't care where you're at, you are still in a heavenly place because all you have to do is call on the name of Jesus. And he'll go as deep as you are deep. He'll go as far as you are wide. No matter what you're doing or where you're at, he will grab a hold of you and lift you back up to the heavenly places. His power, his grace, his mercy is everlasting. That also means it goes wherever you go. So no matter how sorry you feel for yourself, how bad you think your finances are, how rotten you think this world is, you keep one thing in mind, that Jesus is with you wherever you're at. It is a heavenly place.
Yes.
Not because you're in a heavenly place, but because Jesus, wherever he's at, is a heavenly place. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Stand with me, please, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed. I promise you, there's
no one within the sound of my voice. If you're watching by internet, no matter where you're at and what you're doing, all you have to do is bow your head and ask Jesus to come into your life. And he will do that. He will change your life. Just as he will anybody within this congregation at this moment. From sin to grace. From sin to grace. In this Thanksgiving season, as we come into Christmas, what a wonderful time to believe in Jesus. Will you come? Will you come and accept him? If you need a quiet time at this altar, we're going to invite you to come. It's here. God's grace is here. Maybe you need to ask the Lord for forgiveness. Maybe there's someone you need to pray for. If you're looking for a good church home, we'd love to have you at Cove Baptist Church. Will you step out for Jesus?